This is The Urban Connection, the weekly show on issues that affect the community.
For thousands of years, West African men and women have recited the stories of their people. This week, we talk with a woman who treasures this family tradition and her bloodline as descendant of President James Madison and his slave.
This West African tradition came over with the slave and has really been maintained in many families. My mother would always say, please, always remember you're a Madison. You come from African slaves and a president.
I'm Leonard Birdsong. The Urban Connection starts right after this.
Now, The Urban Connection continues. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Hello, folks. This is Leonard Birdsong back with you on The Urban Connection. I have a wonderful guest today. She's well-credentialed. She got her medical degree at Case Western University. Before that, she got a Ph.D. in biology from New York University. And she got her first degree, a baccalaureate in genetics from the University of California at Berkeley. And now she's retired, but she has written a book that is fascinating. Betty Kearse, thanks so much for coming on The Urban Connection. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure, and I'm very well, thank you. I hope you are, too.
Well, I am. I'm doing well. The book is called The Other Madisons, The Lost History of a President's Black Family. It's a fascinating book, a fascinating read. I know that it's what you would call a memoir. And I think that's a good name for it because you're talking about your family. But before we get into talking about the book and why you wrote it, there are two words that many people may not know, griot and griot.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about that first to sort of get us into all of this?
Well, griots and griots are West African oral historians. Going back thousands of years, no one knows how far back. And they tell the stories of their ancestors and the history of the people and wars and famines and so forth. But the term actually is French, going back to the 18th century. And a griot is spelled G-R-I-O-T, and that is a male oral historian. And a griot is spelled G-R-I-O-T-T-E, and that's the female oral historian.
And are you a griot?
I am a griot. This West African tradition came over with the slaves, and it has really been maintained in many families.
Mm-hmm. And you're one of them. It's a fascinating story about how you became a griot. Would you like to tell us that?
Well, I first started hearing the stories from my mother. So my mother was a seventh generation griot. And while she was still the griot, she would tell me the stories of our family quite often, but especially if I was kind of acting up, she would want to redirect me and, you know, remind me of what was important about our story. And, you know, she would always say, especially when I was misbehaving, please, please, always remember you're a Madison. You come from African slaves and a president. So that is our family's credo, and kind of the central theme, the guiding theme of our oral history. So I was hearing that credo and hearing the stories about our family throughout most of my life. But in 1990, my mother turned over to me the box of family memorabilia that had been collected over the generations. And that turning over process meant that now I was to become the eighth generation griot. And so I remain the eighth generation griot, and then my daughter will become the ninth.
Okay. Now, let's tell the people about the Madisons we're talking about. That's your family and another family of a president. Which president was he?
President James Madison. So always remember you're a Madison. You come from African slaves and a president. So I think that Madison, James Madison, is the only president by that name. So
yep.
My family, we are his only direct descendants.
The book is fascinating. It's a great read. You wrote it because your mother said it's made you agree. I said it's time to write the book, right?
Well, yes. The tradition is primarily oral. And my great-grandfather began collecting items to keep in this box. So he added another facet to the family history. I was actually the first to write it.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother felt that because I like to write, this was a good time to actually record these stories so that they could become part of America's history. And so it was best to have it in written form so that it wasn't just passed orally within our family. So that became my task. And I wrote it. When I first wrote it, it was a straightforward family history.
Mm-hmm.
But then in order to let my family members, my family ancestors, I should say, speak for other people who had similar family stories and family histories, I wrote it as fiction. But my fiction wasn't that good, and I ended up writing a series of essays, and then the essays revealed themes and values and issues and questions that, sort of pulled it all together.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway, it became a memoir, which means it's my view of what it means to be to hold this legacy of being a Black descendant of a slave-owning president.
The book starts with Mandy and it ends with Mandy. Who was Mandy and why is she important in this story?
Mandy was my family's first African ancestor in America and our first family griot. So she's the one that brought this oral tradition of oral history over to America from Africa. And she's the one who established our family values and who passed down to us her strengths and sense of hope and love of family.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot between Mandy, the first chapter, and Mandy, the last chapter, but I'll just say your writing is lyrical. You are a very good writer.
Oh, thank you.
And it's a very good read. We're talking with Betty Kearse, the author of The Other Madisons, The Lost History of a President's Black Family. We'll have more in a moment here on The Urban Connection.
More of The Urban Connection, straight ahead. Stay tuned. Let's return to The Urban Connection. Once again, here's Leonard Birdsong.
Welcome back. Our guest is Betty Kearse, the author of The Other Madisons, The Lost History of a President's Black Family. Betty, I know that you visited the slaveholding fortress in Ghana.
Yes. Well, according to our oral history that Mandy started, she was captured in Ghana. So I wanted to see where she may have been. And so I went to Elmina, which has this it's called a castle, but it was really originally a fortress, and then it was sort of a storage place or a holding place for slaves before they were shipped across the Atlantic. And, you know, that was quite a powerful experience. You know, just knowing that, you know, thousands of slaves were held there and shipped away from home, you know, never to return.
It was called the Door of No Return. I've been there myself. I've seen it. It's a horrible place.
Yeah.
And it does make you think. It really does. And I wish more African Americans would go and see it so they would know a little bit more about their history. But okay, Ghana is next door to Nigeria. It became, these countries weren't countries at the time. They were just part of the continent of Africa. It ended up being called the Slave Coast to some people and the Gold Coast for other people. But basically, the gold was in black slaves, which is just horrible.
Yes.
So one of the places was Ghana. You went to Montpelier, I think it's pronounced. That was the plantation of the Madisons. Where did the Madisons originally come from?
Well, the Madisons really came from northern England in the middle of the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to figure it out. I think it's the president's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, John Madison, who came over and founded the Madison family in Virginia.
And that plantation they started is still in existence. I don't think it's used as a plantation anymore.
Well, he actually when he first came, he was in a different area of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But tobacco wears out the land very quickly. So his family ended up moving inward to cultivate more land.
Mm-hmm.
And it was President Madison's grandfather, Ambrose, who actually established the Madisons in what is now Orange County, which is, you know, just is sort of the, I think it's east of the Blue Ridge mountain chain. And Ambrose has a very interesting story. Ambrose was the first of the Madisons to come to that particular area of Virginia, and he arrived there, you know, in the spring of 1732, and within a few months he was dead. And he had been murdered by two of his slaves and a slave from a neighboring plantation. And that was the first documented murder of a slave owner by his own slave. And so the two that belonged to the Madisons were named Dido and Turk. And they were found guilty of murder, but they weren't killed. They received lashes, 24 lashes each. But the other person, whose name was Pompey, was hanged. And it is thought that one of the reasons that Dido and Turk were not also hanged was because Frances Madison, who was Ambrose Madison's widow, was now in charge of some 5,000 acres of land, and she needed all the help she could get.
Mm-hmm.
And buying new slaves was pretty expensive. So
they were punished.
And then sent back out to the field.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a fascinating story. Tell us what the Madison men, the senior of the Madison who was president, his father?
Now his father, President Madison's father, was James. He was James Madison Sr.
Uh-huh.
And his story is that he became attracted to Mandy. So when Mandy arrived, she was sent to a remote field, and he saw her there. And he was attracted to her. He found her attractive and took physical advantage of her. And the result of that was the daughter, Paul, whose name was Corrine.
Mm-hmm.
Then Corrine became a cook for the mansion. And James Madison Jr., who would be the future president, saw her, you know, walking from the outdoor kitchen into the back of the mansion, serving or, you know, delivering what she had cooked. And he became attracted to her. And the result of that attraction was a son whose name was Jim.
Mm.
That is his name in our family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that basically slave owners had the right to do what they wanted with their slaves. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Yes. Yes, they're right. In my family, they call that visiting.
A euphemism.
Yeah, quite a euphemism. But a common term during that period was trespassing, which meant that someone other than the owner had trespassed on the master's property, meaning the enslaved woman that the master owned.
Hmm.
So visiting or trespassing, it was really all rape.
Well, it was rape.
Yes.
Well, you know, you went to the Montpelier. First time you went there, you said you had feelings about sensations of being in a place where your ancestors had been. Tell us about that.
Well, it was good and bad. It was good in that I was literally able to walk where one of my ancestors had walked. So as I had mentioned before, Corrine would walk to and from the kitchen to serve the Madisons in the mansion. And over the years, from her walking and other enslaved cooks also walking, a groove in the ground had been worn from the kitchen to the back of the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to literally walk in there. I just walked right where she had walked. And so that was a very good feeling because I was able to feel close to her. It was really a tangible connection, you know, to my ancestor.
Right.
But on the other hand, even though Montpelier is quite beautiful, it was a prison. So I knew that I was also in the place where at least three generations of my family were kept.
Yeah, that must be something. The book is The Other Madisons, The Lost History of a President's Black Family. Who have you written this book for? Was it just your family or for other people in the world? Is it important? Would it be important to other African Americans, do you think?
That is my goal. What I want people to gain from this book is to know that African slaves were remarkable people.
Mm-hmm.
They had a sense of hope. They had inner strength. And that's what they enabled them to survive. They maintained a sense of themselves. But they also had many talents, which they used to contribute innumerable ways, innumerable, very, very important ways in all areas of endeavor to the country and to the world. And then they passed down those same qualities, those strengths, those talents to their descendants, including those of us alive today. And I want readers and their children and grandchildren to get that message and, you know, to nurture our own strengths, hopes, and talents so that we, like our slave ancestors, can also, you know, make contributions.
Mm-hmm. So what are you writing next? Or are you writing something right now?
What I'm going to work on very soon is I want to write versions for younger people. So I want to do a young adult version, an early reader version, and I also want to do a picture book, because it's not, it's never too early. You're never too young,
right,
to begin to get this message.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. Yeah. Well, that sounds really good. It's an undertaking, but let me just ask, that you expect that your daughter will write a book too about this? Do you expect her to go to keep up with what you've done?
I don't know that she'll write another book, but I do know that she will add on to it. So for each generation, we add some, each generation brings something new to the story. So this is an evolving story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's a very different person who has had different experiences. She lives in London, England now. But
okay,
we each came up in a different era. And who we are and how we how we see and interpret and share our family history will evolve also. So I don't know what she's going to bring to it.
Did she ever go to Montpelier with you?
No, I don't think she's ever been there.
Mm. I just wonder.
She lives in London. It's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get her there. I am definitely going to get her there.
Okay, well, I think that's probably a good idea. Well, it's a good book. It's a good read. I would say others, particularly African Americans, something that they should read. The book is on sale at Amazon and other online booksellers. And it's going to be in the bookstores, right?
Yes, and it can be ordered from independent bookstores, which is good, too, because it's good to support our independent bookstores.
Exactly. Now, you know, at the beginning of the show, I talked about the fact that you have all these degrees that have to do with science. You must have been interested in science before you got into this, or did they run parallel? I think was your father a doctor?
Well, my father's passed, but yeah, he was a doctor, and his father was a doctor.
And you became a doctor.
And I became a doctor, and my brother's a dentist.
Okay.
Yeah.
It runs in the family for sure.
No, it does. But we like to write also. My brother writes. My mother wrote poems.
Well, okay. We did not talk too much about what you did. As I understand it, you were a pediatrician. Is that right?
Yes. I worked in inner city Boston for 31 years.
Wow. Okay. And like me, you are now retired from your profession.
I'm retired, but I have a new profession now.
Author.
I'm an author.
That's right. Well, you've hit a home run with me with respect to the other Madisons.
Thank you.
The Lost History of a President's Black Family. It's a good read.
Thank you.
Betty, thanks so much for taking some time to come and talk with me today on The Urban Connection.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have this week. I'm Leonard Birdsong, inviting you to join us again next time for more of The Urban Connection.
That wraps up this episode of The Urban Connection with your host, Leonard Birdsong, a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of The Urban Connection.